Father God, we thank you for the time. Thank you for this wonderful experience. Lots of great information that's been shared all over this conference. May be a blessing to each one of us here. Father, may your spirit be with us here right now as we about to discuss some of the methods that Jesus used while he was on earth that big marketers actually use to this very day. May we understand the power of these things and how to put them to your glory, to use for your glory. Be with those that are coming, and may we do this for your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So I hope you had a great time, great lunch, great meal. I understand, you know, the time may be a little bit late, but that's fine. This is going to be recorded, so, you know, for those who like to listen to them again, or if you want to, if your friend of yours missed and you want to tell them, don't worry, you can listen to it again later on, okay? All right. So I hope, I don't know, how many of you have been here for the first two seminars? I see great number of hands. Great. Well, maybe I should ask how many, it's your first time, your first, okay, I got a few. Okay, cool. Okay, great. Welcome. We've been talking about business and mission. So we had an introduction done by Michelle. Then we talked about seven principles of, you know, how to build a successful business. Now we're going to go into a little more detail on the marketing side, because after looking into marketing and reading some books and watching some of the successful people out there, I've noticed something. I've noticed, and I've talked to other marketers that are Seventh-day Adventist, and they connected the dots, and they realized that Jesus was, the people that do great marketing today, they actually almost mirror some of Jesus' strategies, and you're going to see it. So it's really amazing. Now, you can fake it. Some people do try, but I don't think it lasts really long, because, you know, eventually the truth always come out, right? So let's get into it. Again, if you didn't have a chance to scan, you'll get a chance by the booth. You can come by anytime. So, okay, what is Christ's method of marketing? Now, before I go into that, and then I like to actually show, it might be a repetition, not too much for those who were here before, about what is really marketing. And I've asked a question about the fundamentals. I'm going to ask again, but before, I'm going to say something I didn't say before about the bad marketing and the good marketing. And what would a bad marketing look like? And this is what it is: a haste marriage proposal. How about you go into a place, a party, or a bar? We don't go to bars, right? But you go there and you approach a girl. Well, let's go for the girl, but, you know, usually the guy approached the girl, but you could, nowadays, it's, I don't know, it can be either. Then you come to her and you say, hey, my name is John, I'm 27, I work in a business office, I have my own business, and I have a nice house. Would you marry me? Is that a good proposal? You think it's a good marketing? But many business, yes? Somebody said yes. You know? Yeah, I drive a convertible Mercedes. Okay. It's getting better, right? Okay, look. A lot of businesses are trying to do this, actually. They talk about themselves. They say how good they are, you know, and how awesome they can solve your problem. And, you know, they've done this and that. And they have thousands of followers. And hey, buy my product. It's like, marry me. The marriage would be like the final, you know, the buying process. You know, you buy it, you're married. Now, what's a good marketing look like? Would be like a courtship. You know, you don't come to her and say, hey, how's it going? would you give me your phone number? For the first time, you don't say this, right? You just say what? Can I buy you a drink? In that context, right? but not even that. Maybe you just say, hey, hi, are you alone? Or, I mean, you start a conversation. Yeah, that was kind of good. I'm not good with that, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So not anymore. And it's just solved the problem right then. Yeah. Okay. So basically, there's a process that needs to take place, you know. Have you heard of the elevator pitch? You know, that short 30-second or, you know, most 60-second. We're going to talk about that next. But it's Donald Miller talks about this a lot in his books on business and the one, the Story Brand, that you have to have, you know, something. If somebody comes and asks you a question, hey, hi, what do you do? And he says, well, you know how usually business have a hard time explaining what they do? I help them to have a clear message so they can help their clients better and sell more. Just say this. And then he says, if he has a business, is he interested now to know more about it? Yeah. If he has a business, well, he helps people to have a clear message and sell more. I like that. I want to sell more. It's just a short thing, but he's right on it. But anyway, it's just so you can know that a good marketing takes time, and we're going to see that into depth. I already talked about this. The fundamental principle of marketing is to do what? Attention. You have to get their attention. Now, talking about Jesus' marketing, did Jesus get people's attention? Yeah. How did he do it? How did he get people's attention? Well, he turned water into wine. Yeah, wow. That was, you could definitely get people's attention with that. But he solved people's problem, really. And you know, as much as he wanted to hush people, you know, sometimes, don't tell anybody I did this. They couldn't help it. They would be telling everybody, hey, you know, Jesus just healed me. He. And then, man, a crowd would come to see him. So get attention. Now, one of the foundations, I had a slide previously, but I didn't put how to get those steps. So you have a product and you have a service. You want to help somebody. So then you... Oh, I did that again. Actually, that's because I mirrored another slide that had side by side. So let me put all of them here again. Okay. So you want to have the product and the service. But you also have to have a promise. Like a promise that what you promise that your product can do. It's a promise. You have to have that very clear, and it has to be doable. I mean, you have to be able to fulfill it, right? Like losing 10 pounds in 30 days without having to do a diet, you know, that's a promise, isn't it? And the promise needs to be kind of way too good to be true. The promise needs to promise something that's unusual. And then, so they can scratch their heads. Like, really? Can I really do that? Yeah. Now you have to have valuable information. Because they need to know who you are. So you give them this valuable information. And we're going to show how to do this. Just so you know. We're going to go into depth right now. You have to distribute this content. It could be flyers, email. It could be anything. Billboards. Billboards is no content. It's just advertisement. But it could be anything. But the digital world, where you put them? Social media, you know, blogs, you know, things like that. But then you distribute them. You know your audience. You build an audience. You run some ads. You get some people's information. Then you run events. Then you make your offer. Then you care for the after sales. We're going to see how that look like. Now, we're going to... Now, before I talk about Jesus' method, right after this slide, if I'm not mistaken, what are mental triggers? This is something loved by salespeople, feared by some Christian that are more conservative, they think that mental triggers is like manipulation. No, we shouldn't use those, you know. But actually, Jesus used them. Used them quite often, actually. Mental triggers. And we're going to see an Ellen White quote that says that he used the power of persuasion. Yeah. What's persuasion? Is persuasion the same as manipulation? No, totally different. Yeah, a persuasion is to convince. If you have something you believe is really good, you have to work out to convince, and to make it, to prove a point, to have them believe what you believe. And then that's persuasion. And what do you use for that to be more powerful? Well, Jesus understood human nature. He understood how we function. That's why he used those mental triggers. And nowadays, there's so many studies on that. That's why this human nature, they even abuse a lot the human weakness to actually sell things to them. Because we're really weak, actually. So here are the things. First one, story. People love story. Why stories are so, not any kind of story. Because the story doesn't, if it's just about you, about, you know, how good you are, about your parents, or about, you know, it's not going to really make sense. You can go into depth. Donald Miller in his book, Story Brand, talks about that. The story needs to have something that by listening to it, you think, is this story going to help me thrive? It's going to help me in some way, you know, for me to get to something, you know, because human nature is also very selfish. So you're here today because you want something from this presentation. Isn't it true? Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You'd be somewhere else. It's not bad to want something. That's how we function. You buy something because you see value and you want it, right? If you don't. So story has to be a story that is relevant. But we love stories. And there's another thing about stories. It plays emotion. It also, there's a science behind storytelling right there. You can just spend a whole lecture on storytelling. But stories also cannot refute. A story, you cannot deny. It's a story. It's your story. So you can't say it's true or it's a lie. So that's another thing. Specificity. Sorry. Sometimes people say, man, your English is good. I say, well, hang more time with me. You see, it's not. So, yeah, specificity. There you go. A lot of studies have been shown that if you're more specific when you're telling a story, it's more likely that they'll believe it. Liars don't like to be specific. They like to be vague. Because if they're lying, if they're too specific, they get messed up and they find out they're lying. You know, so they're really general. Now, studies have been shown even on court trials, where, you know, somebody will come and tell a story just in general. And another person will come and tell a story, even telling like, okay, and so he was using that toothpaste, a Colgate, and with that little brand and color or taste, whatever, you know, the story. It's more specific. He knows even what toothpaste was it. So it has more chance for them to believe. So now this is a big one, social proof. There's not much need to talk about that if Jesus did use social proof or not. That was one of the most powerful thing he did. People just couldn't hold it. They couldn't stop telling what he did for them. So I'll come and say, hey, Michelle, you know, my father was sick and Jesus just healed him. And they're, really? Yeah. There's a great story you just mentioned. The woman at the well. Was that social proof or not? She just went there and said, hey, I found a man who knows everything about me, who told everything about me. And then say, oh, I want to meet this guy, you know. Social proof. Another example of social proof. Let's say you go to, you know, some place where there are different restaurants, like a food plaza. And you see one of them it's just packed with people, and there's a line even to get in. And there you see another one that's empty. Nobody's there. What goes into your mind, and you don't know either of them? That the one that's full is better, isn't it? You don't even know them. But just because there's a line, there's a lot of people there, you just believe it is. So how do you use social proof on your business or in your ministry? Give them an example. Testimonies. Powerful. Lots of them. A lot of them. All the time. Don't try to save with testimonies. Just use them as much as you can. Authority. Did Jesus have authority? What the Bible says, the people said, oh, this man speaks with authority. He knew his Bible, didn't he? When he spoke, he knew exactly what he was talking. So he had authority. And he had authority also by the social proof, by the things he did. Did he really, really help people? Yes, he did. So that builds authority as well. Scarcity. What's scarcity? When something is scarce, it values, it's more valuable, isn't it? So was Jesus scarce? I mean, was it hard to get to him? Yeah, he was in one city, then all of a sudden he wasn't there anymore. So you had to go find him. So he made it even more attractive. And so what do business do all the time with this mental trigger? All the time. Yeah, it says Black Friday, only one day. Don't miss it. Is that scarce or not? What do the people do on Friday, Black Friday? They rush to buy things. Why? Because it's only once a year. That's really scarce. There's a lot of examples of scarcity, and you can use that genuinely, to make it really more powerful for people to make decisions, especially those procrastinators. Who here is, don't raise your hand, likes to procrastinate? Yeah, I would say 80%, maybe more. But here's the thing. It's human nature. We like to, you know, maybe I don't really need. I'll do it later. And if you put some elements there of scarcity, just look, we're having this. I'm going to do that after this. After this presentation, I'm going to make you an offer. And it's going to be really scarce. Oh, scarce. Oh, how to say it? Yeah, scarce. Yeah, it's only one time chance. If you don't do it now, you miss it. You can't. So yeah, watch out. So yeah, it's true, because it's that opportunity that you can't, you know, miss. I was going to say another example of that, but that's fine. Let's go move on, because this is only a portion of the thing. Now, emotion is really big. Reciprocity. What is reciprocity? When you do something in favor, when you do something for somebody, what is the natural reaction? For them to give it back. Because they want to give it back. Because they feel thankful. So Jesus helped people. Now people want to help him. People want to do something for him. So if you do something for people, it generates this feeling, this of wanting to do something back. So it's a lot easier for you to sell to somebody who you've helped than somebody who've never seen you before. That's another thing. Have you gone to a supermarket or someplace where they give you something to try and eat? Have you? Do you feel like buying it afterwards? There's a little feeling like, man, I just tasted it. I feel guilty if I don't buy it. You know, I just like, oh, that tastes really good. And, you know, you're so thankful. It's psychological also. So, okay, anticipation, you know, things. I just told you that at the end of this presentation, something's going to happen. But also, did Jesus use this? How did he use this? The kingdom of heaven. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven. Right there, it's going to come. So, yeah, you're going to say, Hive is going to have an event, a march, a Southern. So that's anticipation. If you haven't registered yet, so do it. It's free. It's going to be awesome. So, and then you keep talking about that in the future. Okay, so I think I'm spending a lot of time in this. Mental triggers are really cool, and there's a lot that you can do with them. Event is also scarce. So surprise, detachment. What is detachment? When Michelle asked about salespeople, people said, what do you think about salespeople? They said what? Pushy, right? Detachment is the opposite of pushy. Detachment is like you're not pushing at all. It's like this. Look, this is an opportunity. I really want to help you. But this may not be for you. You know, I understand. And if it's not for you, you really shouldn't buy it. Because I really don't want your money. What I want, I want you to be successful. I want you to get that result. I want you to lose 10 pounds in 30 days. If you're not going to do this, you know, you're going to make me look bad. Because you're going to buy my product. You're not going to lose the 10 pounds in 30 days. And really, it's not for you. So that's detachment. You know, if you buy, great. Then I want those people that will do it. So, yeah. So did Jesus use this? Can you think of something that Jesus did? Detachment. Was he pushy? You have to follow me. Follow me now. Did he do that? Oh, he did. Well, you want to follow me? You have to pick up a cross. Deny yourself daily. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. Yeah, I say, if you love anything else more than me, you cannot be my disciple. It's like he's not begging for disciples, is he? No. He's actually making it even harder. And, oh man, I could go on and on with this. There's an expedition became so famous on to the North Arctic that he recruited people like this. I don't know the words exactly, paraphrasing. You know that one? Yeah, amazing. His recruitment was like this. I'm looking for people that are willing to sacrifice. The expedition will be very dangerous. There is no guarantee we're going to survive. But there is little pay, but great satisfaction, a great reward, like, you know, you're going to make a name of yourself, something like that, of that sort. It's like, I don't want any kind of person. You're willing to die, you can come. And a lot of people actually did show up, yeah. They didn't make it. They almost died, but they didn't die. Not one died. It was amazing. You should look for that. Do you know the name of that?
Shackleton?
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. There's a documentary on that. Really amazing. Yes, exactly. That's a really cool story. And empathy. Yeah, so put yourself in people's place and know them, understand them, so you can talk about the language. Now, having said that, I've already talked about this. What is Christ's method of marketing? You know this quote, don't you? And Michelle used it this morning. Christ's method alone. He had a method, didn't he? He did. And Ellen White is saying that is the only method that will give what? True success. Not any kind of success. The true success in reaching the people. Now, what did he do? He mingled with people as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then he invited them, follow me. Now, let's look at this. He had a method, not any kind of method. He had the method. True success, what's the implication? Would be like false success, perhaps? Knew the people he worked for. Really wanted to help them. Really wanted. This is like, do we really want to help them or get their money? You know, there's another thing. Do we want their money? They will find that out pretty soon, that you're only there for their money. But if you really want to help them, you're going to do amazing things to help them. And they're going to be really grateful for it. And really, they're going to be loyal to you because you really helped them. And sympathy, he showed he really cared. He listened to them. He really, really helped them. So you really want to. You really want to help them, and that needs to be sincere. Now, then what happened? Then he had a call to action. Follow me. That was like, you know, the button, conversion, click here, buy now, follow me, all of that good stuff. And maybe that part is like, oh man, I have to really, you know, put click here, buy now, follow me. Yeah, people want to do that. If you do, after working, doing all that work for them, they're so thankful, and you don't do that, you're being rude, you know. They say, I mean, that's it. They want more. So, and if what you have, it's a business, it's a ministry, it needs to be sustainable. So, obviously, you're going to sell for a fair price. They will be happy to pay for. They'll be really glad because we all pay for things. And what's going to happen is you're going to be sustained. You're going to be well, healthy business, and you're going to be able to help more, more, and more people. Does it make sense? Yeah. Okay. Now, what's implied in this text? It's a simple thing, but I just want you to think. The poor are to be relieved. This is the continuation of that quote, by the way. The sick cared for, the sorrowing to be comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. And then Jesus had something else. He had what? Power of persuasion, power of prayer, and power of the love of God. This work will not, cannot be without fruit. Oh boy, is that a good quote or not? Wow, cannot fail. If you have, but now what's implied here? Poor are to be relieved, sick, cared for, and comforted, comfort the sorrowing, and ignorant, instructed, and so forth. What? It's a simple thing, but sometimes we want to give the wrong thing to the wrong person. You know, if I have a great business that is to, it's like, you know, food, healthy food, like veggie food, you know, vegetarian food. And just because it's good, it doesn't mean that's what they need right now or what they need for that moment. Or so you have to just understand, Jesus gave sight to the blind, right? The blind needed to see. The lame needed to walk. So that's a given. I talked about this, but I don't want to spend much time here. I want to go to the good stuff. This is incomplete. This is just like the journey, you know, having a character have a problem and then meets a guide. He gave him a plan and then a call to action and then the stakes. If you do this, it's going to happen this to you. If you don't do it, this is going to happen to you. This is a good model to follow, but there's many things within this to get to this, actually, and we're going to look at that right now. So what would Jesus' method look like? Number one, have a solution for someone's problem, and you have to be good at it. Michelle talked about that. You have to be good at, you have to have a passion for, and an audience, and then, you know, a real need. Desire to genuinely help people. Get to know them. If you don't know them, you're going to speak the wrong language, and it, you're not going to relate, they're not going to relate to you because you don't know them. So you're talking to them as if they need something, or if they want something they don't really want. Have empathy that helps you to get to know them and to speak the right language, the right words, the right keywords that will trigger their interest. Give them what they want and not what you think they want or what you think they need. So you give what they want, which it's very different to what you think they want. It might be different. Give them valuable information. Be consistent. And don't charge for it. You know, if you're giving, just give. Don't give and say, well, at the end says, if you want, it's like say, if you give half of the information, it doesn't really help them. They get really upset. Don't you? When you get something for free and you think it's going to help you, it doesn't really help you. It just wants you to get more. And you're like, man, it didn't really help me. And then now if you want more, just click here. But no, really help them. And then once they're helped, they say, man, if the free thing is that good, how much more will be the paid version? So that's the thing you want to do. Like really be consistent and give valuable information and help them, not just half help, you know, just pretend you're helping, but you're not. You're just pitching your thing. And build trust, confidence. Be honest and not pushy. I have this fellow I follow, and I bought a course from him. He is so honest to the point he says, just like what I did here. I said, you're watching this video because I'm going to show you how to do this and that. But really, the reason I'm showing you this video, and it's a good video and you're going to like it, it's to sell you afterwards. And then I know you're going to buy it if you keep watching my videos. Eventually, you can't help it. You're going to buy it because it's really good. But maybe not now. Maybe you're going to take you some time. Maybe a few months from now. But it's fine. If you keep watching, you're going to like it so much because you're going to buy it. So he's really that honest. And also you get upset when you see something, you go there, and all of a sudden he's just tricking you to buy something. And you're like, was that the reason? I mean, you get upset. But if you know you're going there, if you know you're going to sign up for Hive Academy at the end, you're not going to be mad when I show it to you. You know what I mean? Yeah, you got it. Okay. So then offer them more value, like sell it to them. There comes a time to sell. You know, that time when it comes, it's the right time, and they're glad to buy it. This is just a simple structure, you know, product, method, and audience. You have to have those three things, really, to have a good, at least the success for your business model, because obviously you have the product, but if you don't have a method, you're going to be spinning the wheel, you're going to be trying this and that, it doesn't work. You have to have a method. I'm going to show you one of them. And you have to have an audience. But the audience here is two things. One, an audience, it's to have people that need. Michelle talked about this quite strong. You have to have people that need what you have to offer to help them with their problems. But the audience here I'm referring to, it's your personal list, your personal mailing list, your personal audience, the people who follow you, the people who give you their contact, the people you communicate with, you have a relationship with, you know, your mailing list. It's your audience that you need to build. That is like the biggest thing, because once you have an audience, it's a lot easier to just say, hey, I have a great product. I was thinking about you guys. I want to make an offer for you guys. Just and then you write it down there, why, the reasons, and this is what I think is going to help you. And then you send to them. Now, you already have authority for them. They follow you. They like you. You've helped them before. And you just want to offer them something more valuable even. It's a lot easier for them to buy it because they're your audience. Now, this is the thing. The overview. Now you have, unfortunately, we don't have time, but this, let's call this the sale page, like a landing page, like the sales page. The sales page is it's very important. It's not like a web page. Because we think that we have a web page, and then, you know, in the web page you have the buttons and people go look for things, and then no. A web page, yes, people go there to find out about you and to see what's up. But this particular landing page, the sales page, has only one purpose. What's it? What's the purpose? To sell. It's one purpose, one call to action. And there is a science behind the landing page that you have to, you know, just follow through, respect that. Why? Because the purpose there is that a person is there because they want to find out about your product or service, and they cannot leave with any questions, hopefully. You have to answer all of their questions in that page. Usually, a page like this, you think it's short or long? Long. It's not short. It's a long page. You're going to put everything you can possibly think that they need to know. Relevant, not just fill in the blanks. Relevant, and in a nice way, so they can actually read through and say, "Wow, this is cool. You tell this," and then this is the right place to use all the mental triggers, right there. Then there's a way to do that. Obviously, it starts with the title. Then you have a video. You have to have a video presentation. Okay, let me ask a question. How many of you here have business ministries/ministries? Let me see your hands. Quite a bit. Now, how many of you that have business or ministries do not, or let's say a positive question, have a video presentation of your product or service? Okay, two. Okay, you have to have it. Some people may not have it, and that's And that happens. A lot of people are so long doing that. For example, I'm helping a wellness center now. And I said, do we have a video presentation for how the program runs and what's in it, what they're going to get? And no, we don't. I said, oh, that's step number one. We need to create a presentation. Because if people are going to the page, they want to have a presentation to see what it is, what they're going to get, who is it for, how much it costs, all of the features and everything. So now you have that. Let's say you master your landing page. So how do you want people to get there? You need people to go there, right? You don't put a landing page on the website and hoping that it's going to flood with people. No, you won't. Nobody's going to go there. There's billions of web pages on the internet. Billions. Why would they go to your web page? Or actually sales page? Well, you have to be intentional. You have to create ways of sending people there. That's called traffic, right? So let's see some of the things you can do. First, if you're not doing this, you have to start doing it today, tonight. You have to have a blog. You have to have a YouTube videos, a channel that you put videos there consistently every week, all the time. And there's a way to do it too, also, like a specific way to do it. You have to have, you know, some Instagram lives or Instagram, you know, small short things. You have to, you know, give it to people. Facebook. You have to have this, use these channels to give people information, valuable information, so you can build authority, and then you can send people there. You can have links attached to those messages. So people can eventually, they watch it, they liked it, and they said, I want to know more about this guy. And now you can always say, well, in the description, you have a link. You know, if you want to know more, just click there. There you go. People go and click. And where do they go? To the landing page. Now, also you can do ebooks. Free. You can compile a nice ebook with information and then offer them in return of their email. So what do you do this? What do you do here? You increase in your audience, your list, right? You can give a free class in return in exchange of an email. Say, hey, I prepare a free class on this, on how to do this. It's free. You know, just go and watch it. And then for them to watch it, they give your email. And that's one way to get emails. Events are great ways to get people's emails. Do run events. Usually a good timing is like every 2 months. Not every month, not every 3 or 4 months. Every 2 months is like the one, you know, they studied usually the ideal time. Every 2 months you can run an online event. Powerful event, great content, a lot of great information. Even if they don't buy it, they can leave very satisfied. You know, they can leave the event and say, wow, what an event was that. What kind of cool seminars was, you know, those folks there talking about marketing and business, you know. And then, you know, you just leave and say, man, I can use this in my ministry, my business, and this is so cool. You didn't have to buy anything. You give them a lot of value. But a lot of people will want more, and then you have to offer. You have to have something to offer. Then, okay, that, you can send them there. You can give them and exchange their email. But then you have to be more intentional then. You have to create some ads. You know, Facebook ads, ads on Instagram, Google, YouTube. So you can send people straight to the page. You can send people to a free class. You can send people to an ebook. You can send people to watch more of your channels, you know, know more. So that's how people are going to find out about you. You know, and you have to master the ad campaign thing just so you talk to the right people, you know. Then eventually, by doing that often, you're going to have a more specific audience. The algorithms are going to start to be more intelligent about you, about your the profile, the people that you're targeting. Given time, you can be more efficient on running ads. Then you build your list, you know, of specific target audience. And that is valuable. A lot. This is so much. It's worth it. Almost the entire strategy is to build that list. Then the sale. But you're not done yet. Because after you sell, a lot of people think, oh man, I sold it. That's great. Let's say your product is to help the person lose 10 weights in 30 days. Well, they bought my online course. Great. I'm done. Yeah. I sold it. But now, is it over? No, you have to follow up with them to see if they're really doing the program, if they're practicing. You know, perhaps you have the online course can track how far they're going in a course and if they sign up today or not. And then you can say, oh, I need to send a message to these people that it's been 2 weeks since they logged in. You know, you got to check up on them and say, hey, I've noticed that, you know, it's been a while since you've logged in and I want to help you. Is there anything I can do? Sorry. For you, so you need to help them to accomplish the goal, what you promised them, which is to lose 10 weights in 30 days. If they don't do that, then your product will begin to lose credibility. You miss out on so much because the greatest thing is this. Once they accomplish, this is what we call it after sale. The after sale, then you have their testimony. They're glad to share their testimony because now they lost 10 pounds in 30 days, exactly how you promised they would. And now they're happy. And when they're happy, oh boy, this helps you a lot on your, I mean, they're going to bring a lot of people to find out about you. They're going to be so glad to share their stories. And you use that in order to bring more, even more people there. Because now you build credibility, you build authority, you build social proof and all that kind of stuff. Now, okay, do we do this? Do we use one size fits all, like one language? I have one ad and that's it. No, that's what Michelle said. You have people in different stages. So basically, a persona that will be interested in your product, even that person, let's say the person who they have headache problems, and you know you have a product or service that helps with their headache. Let me see, what time is it? How long do I have? LMS. Okay. Now, even so, a person who wants to lose weight. Oh, I was talking about headache. To have a headache problem, they might be looking for a solution for their headache problem, but some people, They know they have a headache problem, but they're not really looking for it right now. They're busy. It's not bothering that much, you know. Or maybe the losing weight thing, you know. Oh, I need to lose weight. I need to go to the gym. But it's not, I mean, not now. I do it next year, you know, New Year's resolution. So they're putting off. And then there's people who don't even know they need that thing. And they don't even know you. So it's different language for this different thing. People. And how do you do that? Educating, getting to know them, relationship, and you know where they are. Now, this is kind of cool slide. A lot of people, they have a hard time creating ads because they can be kind of a, you know, difficult task. How can I make ads? You know, ads can be kind of a, you know, this is just for creative people. I'm not creative. I don't have creativity. I don't have ideas, man. What do I do? So you can use some tools because you can start with the purpose. Okay, do I want to do an ad for people that are, number one, ready, ideal, ready to be converted, ready to buy? Do I want to do for people who never saw me before, don't even know they have a problem? Do I need them just so they can find out about their problem? Do I want to nurture them? Just nurture, just a relationship. I don't want to sell them yet. Just to build this relationship. Just to give them more value. Just to give a free class. Just to, you know, build more of this friendship. Then you have, and then remarketing with somebody who was ready but didn't buy it. Then it's a different strategy just for this kind of people. You know, they're just there. They went to the checkout but didn't click, didn't buy. So it's a different approach also. And how do you do them? How do you combine them? You know, you can do kind of like different ads, like for one of opportunity, explaining something. Ultra segmentation. This is kind of nice. Somebody, you can use a language that only the person of that niche knows. You know, you use that language and he's like, oh my, he's talking to me. You know, very specific. Story like contrast. The right way, the wrong way. And then you show them hidden urgency. For example, this is really cool. Somebody have a headache problem, but your solution is actually the lifestyle center, you know, a program. But they're not looking for a health or wellness program. But then you say, do you have a headache problem? And then you say, oh, I have that problem. It's not tied together with your program. But then you say, well, I have something that can help you. And then the program also helps with headache. So that's hidden urgency. Now, problem solution and all the kind of good stuff. Proof, readiness, comparison, right way, wrong way. That's kind of a contrast as well. Visual, something just very visual. Dilemma, and then demonstration. So that kind of cool slide to give you lots of ideas when you're creating an ad. Now, to finish, this is, I'm going to talk about some common mistakes that we usually make, business people make when they're, or marketing people make when they're trying to sell something or trying to get people's attention. Now, I think I've spoke this one before, to offer what they need instead of what they want. So, I think some of you, I talked about the weight thing. People don't want to work out. That's what they need, right? To stop eating junk food. That's what they need. But they don't want to stop eating junk food. They want to lose the weight, but not stop eating junk food. So you can't tell them, you know, that you're going to help them and they tell what they need, because you're not going to get their attention. You need to tell what they want. And once they give your attention, then maybe then you tell them, well, you know, sorry to tell you, but you got to stop eating your junk food. But now you have their attention, and you're showing them some good stuff, and you then later you can tell them what they need. That they're all ready for what you have. Okay, I already talked about this. Not all of them are ready, and we make this common mistake quite a bit. Lack of empathy, like one size fits all. It takes time, work to get to know them. It really does. But if you do that, if you take that time, if you go there, answer their questions, be there for them, you know, just give them a personal attention and ask them questions, then eventually, if you put yourself in their shoes, you're going to relate to them much better. You're going to speak their language a lot better. Not being consistent. This is, oh man, to put up a nice video that week, that month. Oh, you put that video tomorrow because you come out of this event so excited. I have to do a video. You know, you do this nice video, you upload it tomorrow, and the next video will be like a month from now. That's not consistent. Let's say you see a TV show that you really like. You probably you would like to know when they're going to air again. They're going to be there again. And if you don't, you say, oh man, you're going to look for something else to watch. You need to know that they're there, you know, consistent. Because when people find what you have, they like it, they will be following you. So if you don't have something to give them every time in a consistent way, you're going to lose them eventually. I already talked about this, giving complete or cheap information. So careful with this. You don't want to just give like a clickbait or something that just gets them excited, but then you're not really helping them because you're afraid. And why would we do this? Why people do this? Sometimes it's not because they're mean, because they're afraid to give their everything. They're afraid of giving their value. And we do that. And we say, oh man, if I give everything, what are they going to buy then? Isn't it true? That's a common thing. And that's, I can't give you everything. I'm just going to give you something because I have to have the good stuff to sell them. That's a mistake. That's a common mistake. Because if you really give everything, and there is a way to do it. You know, here's the thing. there's this guy that I follow. I bought a very expensive course. And I bought his course. I followed through. I watched them over and over again. And I watch his free stuff as well, because he give a lot of good value for free. But what's the difference between the free and actually everything that's in the paid version, he also gives it for free. And you say, so why do you buy them? In his case, there's a tricky thing. He actually gives everything for free, but not in order. It's not orderly. It's random stuff. You get lost. You know, you don't have the step-by-step process that for you to actually get the results fast. But he gives the free thing. He gives it really. He helps really. It's really good. And I keep watching them. But it's not on order. So that's a tricky thing. And but he's not being deceitful. He's just, you know, it is marked. And he actually, once you buy the thing, eventually he says this. He said, what's the difference between this? And there's this other guy. He does something. He's not being deceitful either. He has a weekly program. He teaches class every week, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Brazil time. Then it's good stuff, really. It's like a paid course. It's like really good stuff for that subject. But you want it step to step. He leaves it out for free for 1 week, 7 days. And then he takes out of the air. He takes out of YouTube. But you can access to, if you sign up for a yearly subscription, you can access to all of his classes. He says this, look, you don't have to buy my course. Every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, if you want, I'll give you there everything. I teach you everything I know for free. I don't hide anything. But if you want to save time and money, then you get the full version. You get the access. You get everything. You can watch them in one night if you want to. Do we want to save time? Of course. So people are watching. They like it. They subscribe. So, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Not being transparent about your intentions. So, you know, your intentions is to sell, right? So be transparent. Don't hide that. You know, you can talk about that. Like I said, everything that we're saying here, it's impossible to cover everything, and I'm out of time, I think, pretty much. So you can't possibly explain in detail everything, but we're trying to show the big picture so you can see, wow, that's good stuff over there. And then eventually, you will desire to know more, and you can learn from any place. You can know exactly what you need to look for, books, courses, you know, I need to learn more about ads. Oh, I need to learn more about this. Oh, I need to know how to build a landing page. You know, I'm giving you good, valuable information that you can use it. But you can also say, man, I want to know more. Man, I wish I could take a course from this guy or from Hive or from them. We have that option too. So, so that's it, it. You can't help it. It's just the natural flow. But be transparent. Now the 2-1 here. Here. This is a common mistake. Wait until everything is perfect before you begin, before you record your video, before you record a class, before you just wait because you want everything perfect. You want the lights to be perfect. You just need 3 things. You need to have good content, good microphone, good sound. It has to be good sound and a good lighting. That's all. You can use your phone, really. And that's all you need. It has to be good. It has to really help them. Good sound quality and a good lighting, at least. I mean, not really dark or the sun or whatever. I mean, at least people can see it and enjoy. 3 things. Don't need to be an expert, Hollywood editor, nothing like that. Don't wait until you have everything perfect. And this is a great mistake. Not investing in yourself. You think that to buy a book, to buy an online course, to study this or that, to get into mentorship, you think that that's a mistake. It's like, oh man, I don't have money for that. That's a huge mistake. All these big players that I've seen over and over again, they spend hundreds, thousands, if not overall, counting all of the years they're on the market, millions of dollars in education, further education, online courses, coaching, mastermind groups, mentorship. I mean, because let me give you, sometimes you pay like $10,000 to be in this selected group. And the thing that they're teaching there by their experience will help you to make tenfold this, because you now just fix something that was missing on your strategy, because you're spinning the wheel, you're hitting the wall, you're not knowing what to do. And then you're there and they help you out. Was that worth $10,000 for you to make $100,000 later on? Yeah, it was worth it. So education, don't miss on that one, okay? So now, this is some books that you can look. I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to talk about them. Start with Why Sell Like Crazy is really, really good one. If you want marketing strategy, Sell Like Crazy is a very good book. Marketing Made Simple, Build a Story Brand. Atomic Habits is more like discipline, you know, so you can become more disciplined. You can, because there's a lot of stuff we don't like to do, and we don't know how to do them because we're not consistent or we don't have the discipline. This is psychological and brain science behind all these, and it really works. Then the art of learning, because we need to learn a lot of things all the time, and Business Made Simple and The Millionaire Fast Lane. This is not about becoming a millionaire only. This is actually how to do good business, because he talks about the slow lane and the fast lane. The slow lane is to invest in save all your life. And the fast lane is actually to build a business. And then he spends a lot of time saying how to build a good business. That's why I like the book, the end part of the book. I think I'm done. No time for questions, no? Yeah, I think we're gonna pray. And then we're going to have another seminar in 10 minutes about the pitch, how to pitch your idea, and how to be... also for tomorrow, we're going to have a pitch competition, so you want to, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, so I hope you're here. So let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for all of this information, to understand that we can learn how Jesus really attracted people and helped them, and eventually when he asked them to follow him, people did it heartbeat. So may we learn how to be efficient for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This message was recorded in partnership with AudioFirst at the GYC conference Break Forth in Phoenix, Arizona. GYC, a supporting ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, seeks to challenge and inspire young people to take sacrificial initiative for Christ and to see Jesus finish the work in this generation. For other resources like this, visit us online at gycweb.org.